There are certain scriptures in the Bible that really, you know, we can connect with. This is one of the ones that I connect with a lot. It's such a joyful and immediate story, and it's a true story that is filled with such joy and such learning for us as disciples of Jesus. It's one of actually many in the book of Acts. When I was living in Germany, a missionary there that I got to know through our church made a gift of a commentary of the book of Acts to me. And I still have it, and I was reading it in preparation for this sermon today. I always remember Marcus. He was a wonderful Christian, and he was a missionary, and he gave me that book, and it's that kind of thing that makes a difference in our lives. And at that time, I was around, I guess, you know, we were over there, probably I was in my late 20s, and that kind of gift really goes a long way. And so let's give each other gifts like that, you know, and be mindful of how we can make a difference in a person's life with giving them teaching in this kind of way about the Lord. The book of Acts is really the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit at work among the first Christians, so that we sitting here today are recipients of what began at that time when the Holy Spirit came in power at Pentecost, and then the Christian, I guess you could call it the movement, but it's really more than that, that Christianity began and the church was formed and people began to share the gospel. And so there are many different instances in the book of Acts of baptism. We go through lessons in preparation for baptism. The first example that we have was not in the book of Acts. It was actually Jesus who was baptized by John the Baptist. And Jesus didn't allow himself to be baptized because he had sin in his life, but he was being anointed with the Holy Spirit at that baptism so that he would go out in power in ministry and go to the cross for you and me and die for our sins. And the Father initiated that walk to the cross at his baptism. And he went to the grave, which is really what baptism is about, dying to our old self and being raised with Christ, just as Jesus was raised from the grave. So it's a very powerful message of baptism today, but there are many different kind of things going on in this story. But I just want to encourage you to read the book of Acts. I have a comment. You can have the commentary he gave me. We're supposed to pay things forward, so if you want it, I'll give it to you. And you can read it too and gain what I did from that. It's really wonderful. But anyway, so there are different people that were baptized in the book of Acts. Peter baptized many, many people. When the Holy Spirit came down, people were convicted of their sins. And when they heard and they were experiencing the power of God and he explained to them that Jesus died for their sins, they wept and they said, "What should we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit." So that is what we are going to be experiencing today. Repent, turn away from your sin, come to Jesus, right? Be baptized, give your life to him in that way. Have your sins washed away. Begin a new life for him and follow him forever with the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. So that is really the whole story of that, right? It began there, and then these disciples went out and they started to baptize people. Paul was baptized, right? He came to believe in Jesus Christ. He was a sinner and he was baptized. And that's his story, is one of the biggest parts of the book of Acts. And not only that, but how he went and he told people about Jesus. And there was a woman named Lydia who was baptized, and her baptism is mentioned there. And so we see a pattern here that we need to pay attention to in the book of Acts. And it's very intentional because there were so many people that were baptized and came to faith. But what we see is a pattern that it's for all people, right? Peter told the Jewish people at the time of Pentecost the gospel and said that they had actually been responsible for the death of Jesus Christ, his own people, right? He had brought him to that cross and killed him there, and he was raised from the dead, and they were to receive the gospel and become believers in Jesus. And many of them did. They did respond that day. So we have the Jewish people there represented who were living there at the time, right? And then we also hear stories about Lydia who lived somewhere else, but we also pay attention to the fact that he saves women, right? Women are mentioned in the Bible, that she was an important disciple of Jesus and was baptized. So women are represented, right? Gentiles are represented, like the story today, and he may have been a person who converted to Judaism, but he was a Gentile from another land, right? And so we see the gospel being represented here and the baptisms going out into the world just like Jesus commanded his disciples. It's all different kinds of people. And look around this church room, right? This sanctuary here, and see the different people, women, children, men, and then there's also people from different nations all coming to Jesus Christ. And that was what Acts is teaching us. It's for all people. Of all nations, right? Men and women, right? All these things. And women were looked down upon at that time. They weren't held with as much esteem, perhaps, as a man, but Jesus gave them that esteem and worth. And he said they were to be used for his glory. And so there's amazing things that Jesus does in our lives. And that's really what you want to look for when you're reading about these things, that God is showing that his gospel, his salvation is for all people. Okay? So let's look at this wonderful story about the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip is a very interesting person, okay? He's a really interesting, and it doesn't just begin here with his story, with the Ethiopian. Previous to this, he was one of seven people, you'll remember, that were chosen. They were looked upon as the first deacons that were to come, and they chose seven people that were going to be serving tables. They were going to be serving tables while the others, the elders of the people that were going to be teaching the word of God and praying and doing that kind of ministerial work. But he began as a table server, serving food to people that were poor, widows, taking care of widows, doing the work in that kind of way. And then he advanced in a way. He was called it to being an evangelist, right? And so God takes us and he prepares us from these moments where we are doing the kind of work and serving one another in that kind of way. And he took Philip, and then the Holy Spirit gripped him and sent him out with the gospel. And the first place that Philip went as an evangelist he left that work of, you know, the serving people and things like that to go out on mission trips. And he went to Samaria. And the Samaritans are also a group of people that are purposefully mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Acts, because the Jewish people looked down on them, right? They had a history of not getting along with the Samaritans, but Philip went to them with the gospel, thus showing what it is to love our enemies, that Jesus loves all people and he wants them to come to him. And so he went to Samaria and he spread the gospel there. And there's a wonderful story that you can read about that in the book of Acts right before this passage. And so he went there and shared the gospel and baptized people, okay? And then we come to this point here where he meets this Ethiopian. And how does he do it? He was actually in Jerusalem, back in Jerusalem from his mission trip, when the Spirit of God, it says, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Right? This Gaza is very meaningful in the world today, right? But this is a story of this man who is going up on a road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And the angel of the Lord said to him, get up and go there to the road. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit that we read in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit was calling people and giving them directions on where to go. Why? To help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was given that direction in that kind of a way. And God does that today in our lives too, right? He brings people into our lives that are going to help us to know about Jesus. But the angel of the Lord is all, it says an angel of the Lord, but many people say actually it's the Spirit of the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit that was sent in power to Philip and told him to go to this place. And the Spirit said, this is a desert place. And so he rose and went. And that also is a example of how God overcomes all of our misunderstandings of places like the desert. The desert, when God is present there, is alive. And it's not a place where there's no water. There is water there. And we're going to read about that soon, right? So Philip, what does he do when he hears the Spirit speaking to him? He goes. He goes to a desert. He goes where God calls him to go. And that is obedience. You go where God calls you to go. Remember that in our lives. It's so important to do. You may have all these other kind of concepts in your mind of where you should be, but listen to the voice of God and obey it. And you will see the power of God at work in your life for his glory. He rose and he went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. Right? And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. So first of all, the Ethiopia that we're talking about here at this time is actually today northern Sudan. Okay, so it says Ethiopia in our Bibles, but it's talking about really today the northern Sudan. Right? So we have some idea of where that is today. It's also interesting, he was a court official of Candace. It says he was a eunuch, so he was set apart for this kind of work. But in the place where he was serving, the king was actually the sun god to the people who lived there. It wasn't a human being. They worshipped a king who was a sun god. And then there was the queen named Candace, actually... it's not her official, it's not her name that was given to her by her parents. It's actually a name that was used for any queen. Okay, so just give you an idea of what we're talking about here for the general area that he was living in. It was not a believing in Jesus kind of a place. Okay? These people needed to hear the gospel. And so this man somehow, very interesting person, went to worship in Jerusalem, and he was returning with a copy of Isaiah, which we actually read some verses from today for the children's message, and he was reading this that he had gotten there. So it's very, very possible that he was a converted Jew, that he was of the Jewish faith. Somehow, in some way, he heard about the Jewish religion, and so he followed that, and he went to worship there in Jerusalem. But on his way back, God came into his life in a very powerful way. He came to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Perhaps it was this fact that God moved upon, that he was worshiping him in Jerusalem, that caused him to have this encounter with Philip, right? But you can imagine this. This is the way it is with God, okay? And this is when we are brought into a much bigger thing than we're talking, than any of us has any imagination of the power of God and his desire to save people from sin. Right? They're in this desert, and out of nowhere, Philip finds him. Right? Think about it. He's in a desert on this road, and nobody else around. And Philip comes up to him and says, you know, these words to him. He was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So this dude named Philip goes over to this guy, this dude from Ethiopia who is on his way back, and he's reading the Word of God, and Philip comes up to him, right? It must have been crazy. Spirit says, go over and join the chariot. So he ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and asked, do you understand what you're reading? He asks him questions, right? He asks him a very pointed question. Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And herein we see our role in this world, to guide people in understanding what the Bible is all about. Isn't that wonderful that we have that opportunity to be able to share what we believe? Sometimes it's a little bit scary, you know, you feel like, well, I don't know whether I can do that or not. But you have to notice that it's the Spirit of God that is calling him to do this. And the Bible teaches us that the Spirit of God will help you to know what to say to people. There was a woman that was introduced to me by a seminary professor of mine who is a German. Now, I have a connection with Germany because we lived there for 9 years, and so it kind of excited me to hear this story. But this woman was an amazing story where she went and she thought that she became a Christian. She thought that she was a believer, but then she went to this seminary to learn more about the Bible, and it turned out that the main professor there, the main guy there, was a very, very brilliant theologian. But the problem was that he didn't believe in the Bible as the Word of God. Now, can you imagine that? You go to a seminary, and you're going to learn more about what the truth is, and they say, oh, all of that is really, that really didn't happen. It's just, you know, just a story. And so she thought to herself, well, he's this famous guy, and who am I? He must be right. So she just started to believe it. And she even got to the point where she was teaching that after she got her degree. But you know what happened? She's teaching students all of this untruth about the Bible, and she's writing books, and she became very famous. And this group of students who came from far away to Germany to study with people like her see that she does not believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. They see that she doesn't believe the gospel. And so what do they begin to do? Pray. They begin to pray for their professor who is teaching them about the Bible. And the Holy Spirit begins to work, and the Holy Spirit begins to work in all of this. And she tells this story. I posted it on Facebook. You can read it. She starts to take notice of something, and unbelievably, she said when she was talking with these students, the truth came out of her mouth. Uncontrollably of her own, she began to speak the truth of the gospel. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the power of God that comes and brings out in people because we begin to pray for the salvation of other people and we go to them. And he takes us from different places around the world and he brings us even to a place of unbelief in a seminary. And he uses people, his students of the Bible, who truly believe and they know the truth that sets them free. And they pray for this woman, and they continued to pray for her, and they invited her to come to their Bible studies, and she gave her life to Christ. And she burned all of her books, and you can listen to her testimony. That is not of any kind of human story. She began to speak the truth of the gospel uncontrollably, because of the power of the Holy Spirit at work. And the Holy Spirit used those students to save her. That blows me away. Right? We just don't know what God can do. So he goes to Philip goes to the Ethiopian, And he says, how can I understand this unless somebody guides me? He opened the door to him. He invited him to come up and sit with him. It's so beautiful, isn't it? He invites him to come sit next to him. And the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, what about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. He tells him about the good news of Jesus, using that passage that God had given him at that exact moment that he was reading it, to bring this eunuch into the kingdom of God. And what did he say to him? This passage here was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ on the cross. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a sheep, Jesus was led to the slaughter on the cross. And like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. He did not disobey the Father. He went to that cross for you and me. And those are the words of the gospel that Philip explained to the eunuch to let him know about Jesus Christ. And in that story, we know that he had to have told him that he needed to be baptized, that he needed to believe in Jesus Christ. And then, just like Peter was telling the Jewish people at Pentecost, repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so what does the eunuch say? There's water right here in the desert, everybody. There's water right here in the desert, everybody. What is keeping me from being baptized right now? Hallelujah. And this guy goes where? He goes back to a place where they're worshiping the sun as a god. And he goes there with the words of life found in Jesus Christ in the desert by a guy that was sent there by the Holy Spirit so that he would know. And that is the power of God in the world around us today. Do not doubt it. It's exciting. It's thrilling. It's life-changing. And we hear these words and we get excited about it. We lose all of our inhibitions. We lose all of our fears and all the things like that, because God comes in with this power and he says, I'm going to come and I'm going to bring words out of you that you didn't even know that were going to come out of you, but you need to go. You need to go when I tell you to go. You need to put down the things that you're doing and you need to go. It's good that you're doing things as serving people. It's good that you're serving tables. It's good that you're doing all these kind of things. That's great. But people need to know about Jesus. And that's our world today in New Jersey. I have learned a couple times, you know, recently, but over time, to appreciate our state. You know, we live in a state that a lot of people make fun of. And they, you know, you hear a lot of that kind of thing. But when you live in a place like ours, in this state, right, you realize as time goes on, I think, that you actually are happy here. We don't like taxes. Right? Nobody wants the Jersey taxes, which seem to be, you know, insurmountable. Somehow nobody can come up with an idea how to reduce the taxes. But somebody recently said, you know, not many good things happen to celebrate in New Jersey. And I was thinking, don't say that. Okay? Don't say that. And this is a person that lived in Jersey for a long time, but you know, you start to get up a little bit and you feel like, well, you know, I'm not going to listen to that. But what about New Jersey? As we are believers in Jesus and we are called to live here, what are we doing to bring Jesus into New Jersey? Right? That's the mindset that we want to keep going. and feel like, you know, God put us here for a purpose, and, you know, a lot of people want to leave this state and go somewhere else because they feel like paying less taxes, and that's fine. Everybody is called to go somewhere, you know. But those of us who are living here now, who are the people around us that we can share the gospel with? But the Bible, you know, it's not just about reading the Bible every day so that you can check it off. It is filled with inspiration for your life, exactly where you are. You know, and one word can change your day in a beautiful way, right? But do you see the power of God here in this one story? And this man who is from Africa became such an important part of the gospel being spread throughout the world. I don't know. And so we read this story. They come along the road where they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Seer, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. This man commands his chariot to stop. And they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. He had done what the Lord had called him to do. It was moving on to another place to spread the gospel. And the eunuch saw him no more. And what? He went on his way rejoicing. And that is what Jesus does in our lives. He fills us with joy. And that's what it's all about. And let me just add a little bit more of what I think happened after that, besides what they write about Philip. But the eunuch went back and he told people, "You're not going to believe what happened to me on the way back from Jerusalem." This guy came out of nowhere that I'd never met before, and I never saw him again because he was gone before I knew it. But he came up to me and asked me what I was reading, and I told him what I was reading, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And I said, how can I? Nobody's explaining it to me." And he explained it to me about this beautiful, beautiful Jesus who died for my sins on the cross, and he went to the grave, and he rose again from the grave, and he ascended into heaven, and he's coming again, and this truth is for all people. And on that road, I was baptized, and I gave my life to Jesus. And people would say, "Tell me more, tell me more." And then they started to baptize new believers, and the gospel spread. And we know that because there are other Christians in Africa. And we know that because there's other Christians in the world that are here. But I think really the Lord wants us to get excited about the fact that he can use us to be able to come into people's lives and bring them hope in the salvation of their souls. And that they can have new life that we're going to experience in a little while. And there are going to be people that are going to be coming to that and experiencing this baptism today that God is bringing to this place to witness that. And the Holy Spirit will be at work. And we want to pray that the Holy Spirit will bring new lives into Christ today. Not just one in Chris, but all who are sitting here will know Jesus as Savior and follow him and be his witnesses too. So I want to encourage you to read the book of Acts and start to read some of the other stories of how God works and to see how he can use you. And remember that story of the German professor whose life was changed because students in her class began to pray for her. And that is what we need to do for one another. Pray for one another in all kinds of different ways, right? But the best thing you can do as a parent or as a student or anybody, as anything that you do, is to pray for one another that people around you would know Jesus. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful story, such a powerful example of how you work. Take away our fear and our disobedience. Lord, help us to obey you when you call us and to be able to read our Bible so that we can know what happened to other people in their lives and how their lives were changed for good through Jesus. And just equip us, Lord, as we go along to remember that you are there with us and you want us to be saved, just like you were with the eunuch. Thank you for that man and for his faith. And thank you for Philip and for his obedience and for his serving and being an evangelist. Lord, help us all to be evangelists in our time so that people in New Jersey will know you. And wherever you send us, that people will know you and be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.